a big part of.
I cannot get my
heritage. It's just like work life
to order. So we get a roll call.
Nicholas Brennan. David Brown. David's here.
Yeah.
Catherine Farrell. Elise Forcier. Andy Garcia Ortiz. Bridget Hayes.
Here.
Bridget's. Uh-oh. Did you speak, Bridget?
Yeah, I said here. Can you hear me?
Michelle Heaney.
Here.
I will mess with the sound after roll call. Hazar Joffrey. I know he's here. Srikanth Karakai. Karakal. Was that a hand? Ocean Karim.
That's good. Present here. Hi.
Anurag Koyada.
Here.
Ava LaGressa.
Here.
Malika. Jesse Lopez.
Here.
Xander Lynch.
Here.
Salman Matan. On Zoom.
Here.
Annika McGraw.
Here.
Dhruv Parekh.
Here.
Bhavin Patel. Olivia Perkins. Baswadi Sarma. Sim Sepp. Georgia Smits. Oh, Sim's here.
Let's see, Georgia.
Rajvith Takor.
Yeah.
Vera Ye. And Malia Matthews. Seven. 17. Georgia just entered Zoom. Well, that's your 2/3.
All right.
18.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, David's asking. There's two lot of
I will. I'm so sorry. Hedrick.
Are you a field rep?
Vinsky is on Zoom.
Here.
Tyler Dixon.
What position are you?
A voting menu?
Yep, Tyler's on Zoom as well. So, Malia, there were two law school reps that when I did your minutes, I found them.
Uh-huh. I haven't contacted
you about them yet. So we have not added them, but they are here, and David just pointed that out.
Okay.
So that means your total...
We also have another voting member that I think was voting at the same time that is an updated list.
And your name is?
Dines Kimiwe.
Oh, he was from the last meeting where I didn't know what seat.
Physical science.
Physical science.
One second.
Let's get this up.
So that means your total seated members are 29. So you have quorum. And your 2/3 would be what, 21? I see you, Georgia.
Twenty
would be your quorum. And of course, I didn't write down.
So we had 17 before, and then we added the two last ones. So we just like
20. You do have 20 at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. That means we can vote on stuff today. Okay. Are able to. No, it's still more hard, but we need. Yeah. Okay. Are there any late additions to the agenda?
Right. Just get again 10 minutes in your people.
All right.
Hold.
Nice. Christmas tissues.
Striking points 5 and 6. Because we don't do that later.
And we are also going to move the call for open positions before voting on the resolutions so we can vote in a new finance chair. Okay. Up next, we will approve the October 2nd, 2023 minutes. Are there any changes or questions to the minutes as they're presented to you?
And they're in the back of the packet if you need to blend through them or an inbox.
Are there any? Yes.
My name is Brian Mitzfeld.
Yeah, I think that it's been changed in there, but this is from a while ago. So,
which line is that?
D Lynch.
Yeah, D Lynch.
With that change, are there any objections to unanimously approving the October 2nd, 2023 minutes? Okay. Great. Those meetings are approved with that change, Jessica, of Z Lynch instead of X Lynch.
I saw that. Sorry. I was rushing.
No worries. Okay. So up next, we're going to introduce the business of the day. Pretty importantly, we're going to fill the finance committee chair, which we're very excited about. And we also have two different resolutions that David will be presenting on, including voting on the new student activity fee, which is for the next 2 years, and an amendment to the UPSAFC guidelines.
Yeah, if you can look at the box, the resolutions are there. So the student, the SAF one of them. So
we'll make sure that someone in each of these breakout sessions has their laptop open so we can go over the resolutions during the breakout sessions. Do you want to present on?
Let's do the vote first and then we do the presentation.
Can we do the question first so that we know what we're voting on?
Yeah, people need to make some of that in the breakout
session. Oh, okay. Okay. So
we'll do the fine FC chair vote before we vote on them, but we need to.
Yeah, we'll vote for the FC chair first before we do it. So then we'll vote for the FC chair.
Yeah.
You'll present, and then.
Oh yeah, that's fine. Oh yeah, we're gonna do the talk out. Yeah. I thought you meant you wanted.
So just give a brief verbal description of resolution 4 and 5.
So 4 is the activity piece. So that's like what you pay every year. That's gonna go into effect next year, next academic year. So it's fall of 2024. It's going up to $110. I'll kind of go through the breakdown during my presentation. And then the amendment just includes a new default here. And we talked about this a little bit in a previous meeting about when we're putting the guidelines about affinity group exemption to the minimum amount of students. And so that's getting codified. Yeah.
What is the default tier? Didn't we already put the $250 tier in there?
So we previously didn't fund all graduate groups. I can discuss this again, so it would have been default, you would get $0. But now all graduate groups will be getting funding from GPSA regardless of if they meet certain tier requirements or not. And that's where the default tier is. So we're moving towards every group getting funding regardless.
Point of inquiry, where do I find resolution 5? Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
But the activity fee is probably a little bit more important immediately, because we are required to pass that this semester.
I see it.
Okay, we will go into breakout session and I guess focus on the student activity fee document, and we'll generate any questions that we have. And so that we can ask those during David's presentation. Okay, we will meet back at 5:25 and just break out by.
Okay, masters and professional students over here.
Life science over that side of the table. There's just a sign in so we don't, yeah, I think we're full on this right now, but if you just want to put your
attention.
Yeah, it's just okay. Yeah, first one.
I'm normally at 10 on Zoom, so are you on the email list?
Yeah, on
did you get the agenda email to you?
Sign.
Okay. Okay. How results? I'll email again. And I'll see
Okay. Hope you guys had a good breakout session talking about the new activity fee. For business of the day, we're gonna quickly move up first the vote, the call to fill an open position for the finance committee chair, and then we'll go back to looking at the resolutions. So would anyone like to nominate themselves or someone else to be the chair of the finance committee? Hey, what is your name?
My name is Anurag, but I go by Anya.
Would anyone else like to nominate themselves or someone else for this position? You want to give us a little bit of an overview of why you're interested?
Sure. Hey guys, I'm Anu. I'm a law student, and my primary interest is twofold. One, in undergrad, I did a similar role. I managed grants for the undergraduate department, political economy at King's College London. And then second, I'm just find very interesting in like high school as well. Through all my student government roles, even in the law school, the societies I'm part of, I do similar roles. So interested in doing it further and at GPSA.
Okay. Since we only have one person running, is there any objection to unanimously voting in Anurag for the finance committee chair? Fantastic. Congrats. Or to respond to club's emails. That has not been happening. Okay, fantastic. All right, so we'll come back to the other open positions, but first we will hear from David about our resolutions, if that's all right.
Recording in progress.
So I'm going to just kind of talk about the SAF. So just kind of talk about what questions we asked. We kind of said how much money they got for this year, which was the giving example of Big Red Barn. They got $156,000. How they use these funds for graduate works, for graduate students specifically, what their costs were for this last year and the year prior to that. And if they had any kind of any additional information to give to UPSA. And kind of, this is kind of what the results came out of.
Wait, did you ask them if they needed an increase in that survey or no?
Yeah, well, I asked them what their requirements were, so like what their expenses were. And then based on that, and then additional information if they thought they needed an increase, which they didn't put in the additional information. And if there was anything I needed to know otherwise, I followed up with a couple of works. So I did end up back and forth with a couple of works. So this is, I know some of you guys asked what last year's or the current activity fee is. It's on the left here. Just to give some responses, I have kind of some close to the responses on why it ended up like the top. So to kind of say for emergency services, they were really specific. They said they needed $24,000, and like $2.35 is exactly what they need. They need about $24,500 to beat that. We're a little bit higher on students this year, 10,425 students. And I gave them, end up bumping to 245 just to give them a margin of error in case the student numbers did go down, that they had enough money for emergency and medical services, which I think is important for graduate students. The Cornell Cinema had a shortfall of $5,700, which I look here, I gave them exactly, I think, enough. Yeah, they exactly enough to now match cover their discrepancy in expenses. GPSA, what do you call it, PB, they had a surplus over the last few years. So it was kind of agreed that they didn't need an increase in funding.
Club insurance, everything's kind of the same. I'll kind of go into detail about GPSA FC in the next slide. And ISU, they were decreased because we discussed about moving that funds into our internal DISC, which is our International Student Union Committee, and they will work hand in hand with ISU. So those funds are going to end. That's why, in part, why GPSA's internal budget increased is because those funds are going to go through GPSA into our DISC, and that will directly fund international student initiatives. And they'll be working more closely with ISU. So also with concerts, they had a shortfall, which we cover. CUPB, the Cornell University Programming Board, and concerts had too large of a deficit for us to cover. So I gave them as much increase as possible. And that's kind of a summary about everything now. GPSA had a shortfall this year, so that's in part why there's an increase. That DISC is going to get a larger share, and let me see, I feel like there's another item why there's an increase there. The executive compensation wasn't already priced in, so that had to be priced into it. So just going to the GPSA FC, I'm certain a lot of you people are interested in that because you are part of other graduate groups. And we are, so this year we were at a dollar shortage on GPSA. So it had to go up regardless, but looking at kind of the needs of student orgs, we kind of agreed that we wanted to increase tiers going into next year. So this will be the new funding tiers for orgs going into next year. So this won't be effective this year. It'll be the next academic year. So it's kind of how it goes. It's a decent increase, but not substantial, but it helps student work kind of do their day-to-day things. I got the slide twice, okay.
So for the minor amendments for the
GPSASD guidelines, we're codifying the affinity group exemption to minimum number of campus group members.
We talked about this when we voted it in. We said that's what we were doing, but I just wanted to codify it so everybody's aware of that.
It's unfair for like the Native American student org to be required to have 100 students if there's not 100 Native American students. So we felt that it should be clear and codified. And also the increasing the default student forms get.
So if I go back to this slide, it's $325. There is no default right now. So orgs otherwise would get $0 by default, and then they join GPSA. Going to this basic kind of default here, you start a student org. If you're a graduate student, you start a graduate student org, you will automatically be getting
$325 moving into next year.
Right now, it's set at $250. That's what's being put into
the amendment currently. It'll be bumped up to $350 next year, but right now it is set at $250. So
otherwise, that's kind of a summary of both the SAF
and the two minor, really small details on the guidelines, which are not really material, but it's just
mostly codifying
things so that everything's being made clear.
Okay, so in terms of the increase for all the tiers, the amount that you increased the current funding, that will cover both the new, all organizations staying at the same tier getting their new rate and potentially new clubs, or how was that calculated?
Oh yeah, that's in, I priced that in. There's a 5% margin there.
Okay.
I wanted to ask if there was a lot of need that showed the increase of funding tier level 4.
Yeah, so I've been kind of going through the GPSAFC expenses and talking to SOBO, and there just seems to be a lot of groups that have, I think it's all with inflation in general, everything is a lot more expensive. And so for those tiers, it's just to remain the same over the last lot of years.
The other thing is with the new requirements, I think a lot less groups will kind of be reaching to that what was tier 4. And so they'll kind of get stuck at,
well, I guess the new tier 4, which is what is tier 3. So because of that, there was need in that area specifically to that kind of space to increase.
With other thing with tier 5, what's new funding tier 5, which is $3,500 right now, is that will be pretty much limited just to student associations, which are kind of like large overarching student groups. So
They need a lot of money.
I know that I was talking to Johnson Student Association,
a few other like major student
associations, and $3,500 wasn't enough.
Which makes sense because like these orgs have like 800 students.
Can I ask a follow up really quick?
Yeah, sure.
So the new tier 5, we used to require that
To
reach that level, you both had to have someone attend these meetings and also be an FC chair.
Yeah.
It still requires you to attend GPSA meetings. That will be the case. Now, I know we haven't
been the best with attendance, but I've already talked to Anu about this, that we will make sure to send out attendance.
I'll be sending out an email both
on
talking about attendance, making sure that
so orgs don't get demoted next year so that they start attending. The other thing is that we have to send out an email talking about campus group minimum students, because I
noticed there's quite a few groups that
don't meet the current membership to maintain their tier. So we'll send out that email so that groups don't get blindsided by that in the summer.
So did we remove all language about being an FC commissioner?
Yeah, that's all gone. Like that, is it just that kind of whole meeting and approving things is no longer a thing? When we ended up during the major update at the beginning of the year, that was all it.
Okay, and then I guess more of just a comment and less of a question, as I've been talking to some of the groups through the GPSDC, the Graduate and Professional Students Diversity Council that Sarah Zio Fernandez runs, And I saw some interest potentially from them in expanding the highest tier funding for members to join committees, potentially like DISC. So then if you were a DISC member, you could also potentially qualify your student group for a higher funding tier level. Maybe just something to think about.
Well, there's AIF, so they get an additional
$200 through AIF. But as far as like that, I can't speak on that because that would be like DISC chair.
And it did sound like for the new groups that there might be the requirement for
a student
anymore. Yeah. So
then it would just be members with here. Okay.
Because yeah, DISC's budget next year will be like $8,000, give or take.
So it's up to about how they want to be spending $1,000. So yeah, that'll be up to DISC chair.
So is there anything discerning tiers three and our former tiers three and four, current tiers four and five?
So no,
there's quite a few. I can pull up the guidelines, but there's so one thing is fifth tier still has to renew every year.
Mm-hmm.
That is like an active thing. I think there's slight differences. So fourth and fifth both have to attend a certain amount of meetings, but I believe fifth has to attend more by percentage.
Okay.
And is there also an increase in the number of student members on campus groups or
something? Yeah, so it's 50 for tier three and 100 for tier four.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for tier five?
Five.
Five for 100.
The highest requirement is 100.
It's 100, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then tier three, sorry. Fourth funding tier would be 50. And then third is 25 and second is 10, unless they're a new group.
All right, does anyone have any other questions before we put this to a vote?
So I have a kind of questions for the group, but along the lines of codifying the affinity groups as being an exempt group, could we also consider codifying field organizations as an exempt group? Because while a field organization is technically able to be joined by anyone, and like, that's great, that's amazing, we're all for interdisciplinary, a field group is for the field. And not every field is as big, and the fields are just by definition and by how Cornell recruits different sizes. So like it would have no effect for a field that's already 100 grad students every single year, but it would have a major effect for the smaller fields.
Yeah, I don't think any of the field groups are in those like higher tiers to begin with. So I'd have to look at that. Certainly, I can get back to you on that. But
I mean, there are definitely some MBG.
Yeah, plant biology is definitely.
Yeah. Is it what tiers?
Plant bio is at the highest tier right now because I'm a member of the FC.
And I believe linguistics is the third or fourth highest tier, and we would drop to literally default under the current.
I guess.
Let me just stop sharing screen. I can look at this.
Right, playing devil's advocate a little bit. If there are only so many people in the field, is there, you know, a question about ratio of how much money
you
would get compared to a much larger field that has to, you know, buy more food for the events, et cetera?
I think if we like were to break down the cost, our fees would still be paying more money than what we would actually get back. Like even 25 people times the 100 would be still paying more money into GPSA than we're actually getting back. So we'd still be supporting GPSA. We're just asking for a little more of like,
which group
we're paying out of our stipend.
Linguistics graduate student.
I do.
It's Cornell Linguistics.
You happen to know the.
I do feel like the tier system when it comes to like GPSA's funding, that one of the
CLC.
Biggest and the only major flaw with like how we fund our organizations, that's solely based off like how much members we have within the org and everything and stuff. Because sure, if you base it off of like how much money people are investing in with the student activity and stuff, we want to make sure that we are working in a system where each and every person that's participating in the club
gets their money's worth with weather and stuff and doing supporting events and stuff. However, as we see with Linguistics Club and then how we see with like other clubs that may be either, especially for minority related clubs, those that I know that back in my previous institution, we also had someone with a funding system that was based off of membership, but then that also we thought that a lot of people within the LGBTQ groups or in Black and Indigenous groups, they ended up having a lot lower of a funding despite hosting larger events or as large as well. And I think that it's not necessarily the tier system that we need to look into to change, but rather how do we fund our clubs to make it more equitable for everyone? Because at the bare minimum, we want to make sure that every club can succeed and stuff, and if it's contingent only membership and stuff. Yeah. There's like other models that I can talk about the model that we currently have in the previous institution, and that's.
I just want to clarify that for affinity groups are these like they're exempt. They're from this rule, so that would be like the Black Graduate Students Association or queer grads or things like that.
Okay, well, that makes things a little bit better, but I still feel like that, especially with like fields and everything stuff, like. There's only so many, we've been struggling to get a humanities person, let's be honest, but they're crucially important to our society. And if we make those solely based off of membership, then that's only just gonna make it more STEM heavy compared to humanities. And me being in public health, I see value in both because that's kind of like what our program is. We need to do everything and stuff. So
but
I think
the problem with that is like, there's only so much money to be given out. So if you want to give more money to one group, you have to take away from other groups. And
the linguistics have 17 members.
I assume they are in others.
So there, our total collection off of them was like $850.
So it's just, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Again, to continue the devil's advocate argument, I guess that, again, the main point is that the money has to go to people who use it. And if the question is, do we allocate money towards affinity groups or other organizations that have less funding to give them more than they would get under the system? That's a separate argument. But whether we want to focus on a reasonable threshold, I guess, should be another point. Because the threshold in here is admittedly arbitrary of, we have 25 for this, 50 and 100.
Well, utilization is also a major part.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so, if it's the case that a lot of organizations attend these meetings, then they should get, as they contribute to the organizational whole, they should be able to get money for that.
And use the funds as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables here that, because, again, I hesitate to go to this point, but for the affinity groups, we want to give them money, no questions asked, but there's only 50. Should we give them the full 100 if they're the exemption, if they're an exemption? Because would they use all that money? They should, and that will probably make the event better and encourage them to be able to have good events, but the minutia is going to be very complicated as we get through everything now.
It's a bit ambitious and everything, but what we did in my previous institution, instead of having any kind of a tier system anymore, we just had something called Spring Budget Weekend where a club and their e-board, they would come in and they would present what is that the club does, how much attendance to come by, and all the other things, and then what is it they're asking for within the budget, and the budget is the entire plan for their next year, and then from there on, we have to space off that
amount. 350 students, just no way.
We've had 400 for ours. But then again, we also had a larger Senate too, so I guess that changes things.
Yeah, I think that model works a lot better than undergraduate student government.
Understandably so.
Because it's so hard to get engagement for us anyway.
Understandably so.
And it's really difficult with the transition of graduate students, like leadership in the clubs, for them to know a year out. Like that is asking.
I'm not saying that we should, that I'm not advocating for this because like, honestly, that's like a lot to convince and stuff. I'm saying that we need to look more into our current financial our funding system and try to explore other avenues to make it easier for clubs to exist, even if they don't have like the membership and stuff, because at the end of the day, they're here to contribute to the quality of student life here. And without these clubs, even if there's like only like five and there's still people that affiliate within some sort of field and everything.
Well, yeah, but they shouldn't get the same amount of money as
if they shouldn't. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that it should be a lot. We need to look more into it, I'm trying to say.
I have 7 minutes. I have another meeting to go. I definitely want to vote on this. So I guess if we can start.
Since it sounds like most of the discussion is about the amendment, about the funding tiers.
Yeah.
Are people okay with us entertaining a motion to call the question about the student activity fee?
Yeah.
So,
motion to split the question.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, so we will have a vote on whether to approve the student activity fee as it was presented.
It's two separate resolutions.
Yeah, vote on resolution.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Okay. Yeah, so we're voting on resolution four. If you approve passing the student activity fee for the next 2 years, please raise your placards. And on Zoom, if you can do the green check mark, please. Are you voting, David?
Yeah.
I see 19 green check marks. Oh, 20 green check marks. Okay, would anyone please raise your placard or do the X mark on Zoom if you would like to vote against student activity fee? And if anyone would like to abstain, please raise your placard or make a mark on Zoom. Okay, it sounds like we unanimously approved that. Good job, team. We did it. That was like our one thing for the semester. Yes.
Question. I move to table resolution five.
Do we have a second for tabling resolution five?
Seconded.
All right, we will table that until the next meeting and we will plan to have a discussion about it. And maybe if some folks would like to meet up outside of GPSA and talk about it as well, that can I very much support that to hear new ideas about it.
Yeah, I think that all ideas should be sent to David. And if you all want, when I do a call for next week's additions to the agenda, I can add it.
All right. Since we have tabled the vote for resolution five, we will move on to continuing to call for filling our open positions. We found a couple of other positions that we forgot to list previously. So we have Masters of Engineering representative, a Masters of ILR representative. We do have one Open Arts and Humanities representative. And then we have some university committee positions that are still available. Would anyone like to nominate themselves or anyone else for these positions? Thanks for staying to the vote. Yes. Oh, yes.
I'll nominate myself for Masters of Engineering representative.
Are you not already a voting member?
I am. Am I not allowed to do
that? Are you also a Masters of Engineering?
Yeah.
Does that fit better? Okay. We could just switch you. What is your current position?
Physical sciences.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you would prefer to be listed as one over the other, that's fine.
Okay.
We can do that. Yeah, that's called take your name. But yeah, you can't be a representative for both of the positions. So thanks for
doing the motion over the summer, or we could.
I think we're just putting her in the correct position that we've already voted her in for.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's no one else, we can move on to the reports of officers and committee updates. Executive.
We met with the Great Barn today, which is really awesome, to talk about future visions of what the barn space can look like. So if you're interested in that, we're going to have a conversation with Dean Moore essentially about that, and especially regarding things like food in the barn and how it can be very cost sensitive to students, and maybe potentially talking to Cornell Theater about ways we could work with that with student groups. Transportation survey I need to update based off of feedback, but I'm hoping to get it sent out in the next communique. And then potentially we might put up a resolution for funding Cornell's. Yeah, I think that's everything for me.
All right, operations.
Okay, so all voting members should have received an email from me talking about committee membership. So if you haven't gotten that and you should come up and talk to me after, please fill that out by Friday. I'll be placing people as seating is necessary. So I'll try to to follow what you've asked for, but I can't guarantee that you'll get those positions just on need. The committee is working on the bylaw revision. It's going well so far. We have a lot to bring to the table in the spring, hopefully starting with a parliamentary procedure presentation at our first meeting to help things run a bit smoother and make sure everyone's on the same page. But if anyone has any feedback or suggestions on the bylaws or questions or concerns, let me know. And that's all I have.
Great. Appropriations? I guess most of your things were presented on. Communications, Andy is not here. Finance. Any updates? All right. We'll make sure that you get onto all of the emails and everything. And we don't honestly have someone to give you an onboarding. So hopefully David can maybe set up stuff with with the activities office and everything. Okay, student advocacy, Ma's not here. DISC.
Yep. So first thing is we've got a member who's happy to join the diversity panel. The second liaison with Michelle as well. So Jayesh will be joining Michelle, and we'll work together on that. So that's happening. On the same topic of diversity council, we've agreed to fund the Renaissance Ball that they host in spring. It'll be $1,400 funded from our end.
$400.
I wish we had that budget. Then the Diwali event hosted by Big Red Barn is being funded by DISC as well this semester, which is next weekend. That's another $300. We're hoping to do a bit of a raffle draw from DISC side as well, which I'll discuss with you guys and get your green signal on that after the meeting. Last thing is, from a communications point of view, we've realized that a lot of US embassies outside of the United States host orientation events for international students before they come to the United States. But that happens in a more sporadic and a disparate manner itself. So we're trying to see, it's being conducted by the International Alumni Relations Office on campus. So we'll be getting in touch with them to see how can we streamline this? How can departments have this information? Because departments don't have this information when they get students in. So we're hoping to work that bit as well. And lastly, our committee is at 12 members, so we may put a pause for a while because now it's getting a bit difficult to manage. Planning to get a vice chair in, but yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Programming, Katie is not here, but they're starting to get to work on the Brad Gala. So if anyone is interested in planning the theme, et cetera, for that, put that on your list of committees you want to be on. Graduate school, I don't think Dean Boris here.
Unfortunately, she can't be here. I'll just say, as far as that, we are really committed to the barn. And so that's been my function is trying to make sure that the barn continues on. We lost our director a couple months ago. And so if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's a really good sign as far as that we've been able to keep it going. We also have a new manager in place. So Claude DeCastro just started on November 1st. And so hopefully we'll be able to revisit and think with you and me as far as what it is that they're looking for the barn to do. So a little off topic, but it's important.
Great. All right, now we can move on to the open forum. Did anyone have anything that they wanted to talk about?
Yep. Okay. So like we had a discussion last meeting about Cornell Dining. This is another topic that we'd like to work on as this is tax prep help. And again, we realized it's not only an issue for international students, but turns out that it's also an issue for American students as well that are using Cornell services for tax prep help. And one major thing that we really learned from the IV Plus Summit is a lot of other IVs have dedicated tax support staff based on regions, because different regions have different tax laws, and thus, so that's something Cornell does not have. And that's something we'd like to advocate for, is have dedicated staff eventually. But in the short run, we'd just like to know, the tax season is coming up. So before we go to the tax office, what are the different issues you just faced? Any broad brush issues, anything else? More than happy to have a detailed chat after the meeting as well. But if there's something that can just come up right now, we bounce off some ideas. That'll just help us with the starting point.
I know. So
the law school in partnership with the business school used to have a forum in which they would do taxes for low income. And here's where it gets fuzzy. At one point, I had heard that it might have involved students, but I know in recent years it has only been for Alaska. But you have to meet federal low income requirements, which no graduate students at Cornell do because our stipends are too high for that. So that's the only place where it can get messy. Yeah, that's all I know on that front. But I have some emails from David that I have to email.
Anybody else in your time at Cornell, if you faced any issues filing taxes, anything that you feel is.
I'd love to chat with you afterwards.
Okay, great. Yeah, that should help. Thank you.
I don't like thinking about taxes before we have
them. I've heard from personal experience with friends who are international because Cornell does provide a service to international students to file their taxes, that they do not like the service because it usually tells them that they have to pay like much higher than if they went to a third party. Mm-hmm. So I had a friend who went to someplace locally and had them review their taxes. And I think with them, it was like $200 or $300 less than what the Cornell services said they had to pay. So they went with a third party because they paid the third party $50. So like the net difference was significant.
Well, wouldn't they have gotten refunded to them if they had overpaid?
No.
That's what I would have thought.
No. Yeah. Because it was saying that they owed them. Like the numbers literally were discrepant of what you owe the
government. But then the government actually figures it out, and if it's wrong, then they send the money.
Yeah, if it's the IRS says you owe more, they would eventually send that back, but it might take a while.
But it's also if they catch them. That's just something that.
Can you put me in touch with that friend? I just have to know more. So is it that US citizens don't use Sprint tax to file tax?
I don't think we're allowed to use what the university pays for. I don't think we qualify at all.
Yeah.
So you're just on your own.
Yeah.
And then I guess it's also important to note that if you're on fellowship, the university takes out no taxes. So actually, and I forgot to do this year, you're supposed to pay New York State 4 times a year. That way you don't pay a late fee for not paying them 4 times a year. Which I haven't done, which I should do.
Most graduate students do qualify, I think, recently for the free tax filing software through like the state and federal, depending on the income levels. But that can also be a pain in the ass.
Fellowship doesn't count for it either, though. Because it's either a special situation. Yeah. I tried to do that last year.
I think they're trying a new software, but we'll see. Maybe that extra first.
All right. Any other comments for the open forum? All right. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good Monday evening.
Take care.
Just this.
Yeah.
It's a
performance.